Good morning. In fact, I read a story about Billy Graham. He was asked what the secret of the success of his ministry was, and he said, "I'll tell you, it's three things. The first one is prayer. The second one is prayer, and the third one is prayer." Our prayer is so powerful. It's so powerful. It's when we come into the presence of God and when we speak to Him, when we hear from Him, prayer has the power to change any situation. But we know that God's answer is not always yes, is it? All right, we know that. Let's watch this clip from Bruce Almighty as we get started.
Okay, I need something with a lock. Security combination, password. Password. Yo!
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now. It's good.
It's good.
This is gonna take a while.
Buenos días.
Disfruta un buen café.
Gracias, señor.
Adiós.
Adiós.
Ah, now that's fresh mountain-grown coffee from the hills of Colombia. There you go. Now everybody's happy.
We know that God doesn't answer yes to all of our prayers, right? I'm just telling you, you ought to be thankful that He doesn't, because some of the prayers I've prayed, I'm so thankful that God said no to those. Oh, man. There's a real simple reality to the fact that God doesn't say yes to every prayer. I mean, just the simple fact that there were followers of Jesus praying for Donald Trump to become president, and there were followers of Jesus praying for Hillary Clinton to become president. There was followers of Jesus praying for that other guy that I can't remember his name to become president, right? So there, it's very clear. Like, God's not going to say yes to every prayer, right? God's not going to pray. There's followers of Jesus praying for the Lakers. That's the right way to pray for tonight. Then there's other people, you know, deceived people praying for the Cavs tonight. We know which one God's going to answer. We know that God also doesn't say yes to changing the will of another human being. Like, God, would you just change their hearts so they fall in love with me? God's not going to say yes to that. God's also not going to say yes to every time that we ask Him to heal somebody in our lives, right? For the simple reason that we are not designed to live forever in this body on this side of eternity. God's not going to say yes to every single one of our prayers. That's just that He's not going to do it. So what becomes the answer, the question becomes is what do we do when God says no to our prayers? What do we do when God says no? If you've got your Bibles open to Philippians or 2 Corinthians chapter 12. See, God doesn't say yes to every one of our prayers, which tells us this, that sometimes His answers are different. And if you're taking notes, you can write this first thing in your notes, is that the level of our maturity is measured by how well we handle the word no. Think about that. The level of our maturity in so many ways is measured by how we handle the word no. You think about kids that have not been told no very often, that have not learned the discipline of delayed gratification, things like this. When they hear the word no, what happens? They cry, they scream, they complain, they throw a tantrum. Why? Because they're immature. The measure of our maturity in so many ways is measured by how we handle the word no. And I think in so many ways, the greatest test of our faith as followers of Jesus is what happens when God says no to one of our prayers. Do we still trust him? Do we still rely on him? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says this. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What's the caveat in that verse? Somebody tell me, shout it out loud. In his will, that means that there are some prayers that God does not answer. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, husbands, if you are not a good husband and you don't use your words to encourage your wife, God blocks his ears to your prayer, which should give us great pause as husbands and how we treat our wives. There are some prayers that God doesn't hear. When God doesn't hear and doesn't respond to the prayers that are self-absorbed and self-interested and have no thought to what God's will is. But this says that if we ask anything according to his will, what's it say? He what? He hears us. It doesn't say that he says yes to us. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says wait. Why does he say wait? Because I'm doing something in this situation that you don't have the perspective to see. You need to wait. Sometimes God says I'm doing something different. It's no to that. It's yes to something different. And sometimes God just says no. That's not going to be good for you. That's not according to my will and plan for your life. Now, I think the problem is oftentimes when we hear no from God or we feel like God is delaying, we feel like God is saying, I don't love you or I don't care about you. Or we've got this feeling like God is punishing us for some sin that we have done against him. But no doesn't mean that. In fact, God's delays are not God's denials. Just because God says no does not mean that he doesn't love you. In fact, it's because he loves you that he says no. And so the question becomes, what do I do when God says no to one of my prayers? What do I do when God says no? If you're taking notes, write this first thing in. First thing is this, is that we've got to trust that God does everything in goodness and in love. When God says no to one of our prayers, we've got to trust that God does everything in his goodness and love. Psalm chapter 25, verse 10, it says all the ways. Say that phrase with me, all the ways. Say it one more time, all the ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. All the ways are loving and faithful, which means if your heart is to pursue Jesus and to follow him and walk in obedience to him, that means every response that God has towards you is one of goodness and love and faithfulness. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, we know that in all things, say all things with me, all things. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. There's two phrases in those two verses. One is all the ways, and the second is all things. That as we pursue God and walk in obedience to God and our heart is to honor God, it means that everything that God does in our life and through our life is a response of his goodness and his love. And even when things don't look the way that we want them to and situations are crazy, we can trust that God is working his goodness in and out and through those things. What do we do when God says no? First thing is we trust that God does everything in goodness and love, which means even when God says no to one of our prayers. See, the enemy, his job is to deceive you, and his job is to lie to you. And when you hear no from God, the enemy is going to come in and say, you know, he doesn't actually care. God doesn't love you. I mean, God doesn't even know. God doesn't have anything to say about this. There's no plan for this. It's just purposeless. Everything is meaningless. God doesn't love you. He doesn't care. And the enemy is going to try to lie to us. But here's the truth that we've got to hold on to if we're following Jesus and we're all walking in obedience, is that I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it's motivated by love. And this is talking about understanding God's character and inclination towards you. That God loves you, that his goodness is for you, that he cares about you. And when we understand that, it leads to a certain level of security in our life, because we can look at seasons and situations and crises in our life and say, I don't get this and I don't understand it, but I know that God loves me and his goodness is for me. God, I know that you love me. See, I think the reality is that God loves us too much to say yes to everything that we pray for. And so if God responds no to some of our prayers, that means that we essentially have three different responses. We've got three options. If you're taking notes, write these in. The first one is that when God says no, we've got the option to resist God. Say, God, fine, if you say no to this, I'm going to make this happen for myself. If you say no to this, I'm just going to take care of it myself and forget you. I resist what you say in my life. I'm going to make this happen myself. The first thing is we can resist when God says no. The second thing is that we can resent it. We can resent when God says no to a prayer that we have and say, you know what, God, if you're going to say no, then forget you. Forget about it. You know, if you're going to say no to this, then I don't want anything to do with you, and I'm going to resent that. We can resist it. We can resent it. Or the third option is that we can rest in it. That if God says no, then we can rest in it, knowing that his no is a response of his goodness and his love towards us. And we can look at a situation or a painful problem and say, you know what, this hurts. And I don't understand why I'm going through this. And I may not have all of the details, but I know that your goodness is for me and that you love me. When we hear no, we can, first thing, our response is that we got to trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Number two is this, is that we've got to pray what Jesus prayed when he was facing the cross. When we hear a no from God, then we pray what Jesus prayed as he was facing the cross. You probably remember the scene. Jesus goes on the top of the Mount of Olives. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Gethsemane literally means the place where they press the olives, and that's exactly what was happening to Jesus. He was being pressed, and he was being squeezed, and the text says that he was sweating. His sweat was as if drops of blood, just such agony that he was going through because he knew that his best friend was about to betray him. He knew that he was about to be beaten. He knew that he was going to be tortured and eventually executed. But on top of all of that, he knew that he was going to be separated from the presence of God the Father. And so he comes before God the Father and he says this in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. He says this. He says, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. And we learn three things from Jesus' example. When we hear a no from God, we learn three things. The first one is this, is that we've got to remember who God is. We have got to remember who God is. Jesus starts off this prayer. He says, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. If you remember the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the term. It's an Aramaic word. It's the most basic word for expressing your love and conversation to your father. It'd be like saying daddy or papa. And he's saying, Abba, Father. See, when we hear a no from God or when we go through a crisis and we come before God, we've got to start with understanding what our relationship is with God, that you're one of his kids and that he loves you and that he cares about you and his presence is with you. And Jesus says, Abba, Father. And then he says this, everything is possible for you. Everything is possible. And so when we come before God, we say, God, I know you've got the power. I know that you can do something about this. I have full confidence in whatever your response is going to be in this situation. The first thing is we remember who God is. The second thing, if you're taking notes, is that we request passionately. That's what Jesus did. He says, take this cup from me. Take this cup from me, the suffering that I'm going through, that I'm about to go through. God, if there's any way, remove this from my life. And Jesus prays passionately. And then the third thing is that he receives God's plan. Listen to what Jesus says. He receives God's plan. The next verse, it says, yet not what I will, but what you will. Not what I will, but what you will. We remember who God is, that he's a father that loves you passionately. You request passionately. You say, God, I need this financial breakthrough. God, I need a job here. I need healing for this person. God, I'm going through this difficulty and I need you to do something. And my kids are going off the wire over here and I need you to rescue them. And we request passionately and then we receive God's plan. We say, God, I've got all of these requests, but what I want most in my life is for you to accomplish your will in my life, even if that means no. What do we do when God says no to a prayer? First thing is that we trust that God does everything in goodness and love. The second thing is that we pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. And then the third thing, if you're taking notes, is that we have to realize that a no to one prayer is always a yes to another prayer. We realize a no to one prayer is always a yes to another prayer. Let me give you an example of this. The Apostle Paul was a man of God, used by God in just incredible ways. He started off his early ministry and he hated Christians, went around trying to imprison them, torture them, get them to deny their faith, execute them. He wanted to destroy the church. He wanted to wipe the name of Jesus off the face of the planet. And one day Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, encounters Paul, knocks him off his donkey, reveals himself to him. And Paul goes from hating Christians to becoming a Christian, to destroying the church, to becoming a church planter all over the known world. And Paul ended up writing almost two-thirds of the New Testament. And one of these letters that he wrote, the Apostle Paul talks about something called a thorn in the flesh. And we don't exactly know what the thorn in the flesh was, but we know from his story that it was something extremely painful in his life. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. He says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. That Greek word for I begged is parakaleso, and it means to plead with, to implore, to beg. In other words, Paul's on his knees saying, God, please take this away. I mean, you just think about the painful situations that we go through in life, and Paul would say, God, please, please would you take this away? This is so painful. This is so terrible. God, would you please take this away? And Paul learns something in the midst of this. In verse 9, this is what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, each time, this was God's response, my grace is all that you need. In other words, God said no to Paul. God said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said no to Paul. He said, my power works best in weakness. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. If you're taking notes, write this in. That God's grace in our pain turns any problem into a channel for God's power. That God's grace in our pain turns any problem into a channel for God's power in our life. That's what Paul learned in this. God, would you take this away from me? God says, no, I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to teach you a lesson that's going to carry you throughout your life and your ministry, that all you need is me. And Paul, when you learn that all you need is me, you're going to experience such power flowing through you, such effectiveness flowing through you. And Paul learned this, verse 10. He says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and in the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, God's got a bigger perspective than what we have in our situations. And God's got a greater plan. He's got a better plan and he's got a greater purpose for our life. And sometimes we can't see what God is doing, but because he loves you and cares about you, and his goodness is for you, he is working in your life and through your life. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says this. It says, those who know you, Lord, will what? Say it out loud. Will trust you. Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You don't abandon anyone who comes to you. The reality is that if you don't trust God, it's because you don't know God. And for some of us, we've been following God for a long time. And the Holy Spirit is bringing us to a place where we confront the fact that maybe we don't trust God like we should. That in the midst of our pain, in the midst of all of these seasons, maybe God is doing something so specific. He's not saying yes to those requests, but he's saying yes to doing something so powerful and dynamic in your life that it's going to change the rest and the trajectory of your life. And God may say no to this prayer, but he's saying yes to doing something phenomenal in your life. See, oftentimes, sometimes when we pray, the answer is no, but we have to understand that no is never the end with God. God doesn't say no and then turns us back from you. He says no, but yes to this. God's doing something great in you, and it's motivated by his goodness and his love. Would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? God, we're so grateful for the reminder of your character, of who you are, of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your love. And in this room, I'm sure that there are people that don't have a relationship with you. And so I don't want to move anywhere from this place without giving everybody an opportunity to start a relationship with God. And if you're here this morning, you say, you know what? You talk about a relationship with God, and I don't have a relationship with God where I can feel his presence and where I can talk to him and where I can hear his voice and where I'm growing with him and I'm walking with him throughout the day. And I sense him in the morning as I'm going throughout work and when I go to bed, where I sense his presence. And you say, I don't know that I have a relationship with God. And because you don't have a relationship with God, it's tough to trust him in the midst of difficulties. And the starting point is that right there, is that we would just come before God and start a relationship. Romans says that anybody who confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, means you're not just a historical figure, you're the Son of God, confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, the promises will be saved. You will start that relationship with God. And if you're here this morning, you say, I want a relationship with God. I'm confessing with my mouth Jesus is Lord and that he's risen from the dead and he's at work and he wants a relationship with me. If you want to start that today, relationship with God, I won't embarrass you in any way. Everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you raise your hand? And I want to partner with you in prayer. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else this morning? Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? I'm starting a relationship.